In our second installment of looking at the song of the vine which says this mysterious pasuk from Yeshaya, Koyomar Hashem, so says Hashem, Ka'asher yimotzi atirosh bo eshkol, when the wine is found grouped together in a bunch, a cluster, V'omar al tashchisehu, so a person says, don't destroy it. Kivrochoboy, because there is blessing in it. Kein e'eser, so I will do, says Hashem, leman avodai, for my servants, levilti hashchis hakol, so as not to destroy everything. I'd like to actually dedicate this shiur to an amazing woman who I didn't personally know, Rezal Bas Moshe. All I know is from her children, her own fruits, her precious fruits. The tzaddikim are the fruits of their ancestors. That, how apt for shiur number 120, we can perhaps give them the same bracha that we express in this pasuk, that they should also merit to live till 120. This learning will be in her zechus. And since we're giving out brachas, I wanted to express a bracha to a Talmud of mine, Aaron. You know where you are. Shout out to you, Hatzlacha Rabba. You're doing amazing, amazing stuff, and we're proud of you. So we said yesterday, previous installment in Shiur 119, that part of that bracha, part of the blessing expressed in this song of the vine, is the fact that they are together. Because that unity, that togetherness, is what leads the person to say, hey, don't destroy it. It's worth something. It's not worthless. And I dropped in the reference of the vine or the grapes to the sin of Adam HaRishon, the very first person in the Torah. No, not chap one, but actually Adam HaRishon. According to the Gemara, there's a discussion as to what the fruit was that he actually ate. And we will return to some other of those later, and we've referenced it in the past. Probably not the apple. That's probably not one of the four, although we will talk about the apple in a later episode. According to one of the four, it was the grape. It was the vine. Now, interestingly, if you know your sources, you'll be aware that Adam himself was told not to eat from that tree. But Chazal tell us that had he waited, he would have been allowed to make a brocha over the fruits of that tree, but not yet. It was too early. He would have made it after Shabbos. He would have made Havdalah over it, which of course nowadays we do over wine. What is Havdalah? Havdalah is separation between that which is holy, that which is profane, that which is meaningful, that which is not meaningful. That of that idea of distinction of Havdalah is the idea of da'as, of knowledge. The Gemara says, "Im ein da'as Havdalah minayin." If you don't have knowledge, how can you possibly be able to distinguish between the good and the bad? You can't distinguish between something that's worth something and something which is worthless. The vine by itself without the fruits, it's just a vine. With the fruits, it expresses something totally different. Out of context, it's nothing. Interestingly, if you actually look at how this goes, you take it a stage further, look at someone who, again, perhaps took things out of just not at the right time, like Adam did. The next episode where you see that is Noach himself. Noach, we've got to move away from our childish understanding. He comes out of the teva and he sees the world is destroyed. So you could understand that when he then subsequently drinks, he's fulfilling the pasuk in Mishlei, Tanu Sheichel Oived, give strong drink to a person who's despondent, V'yayin L'mori Nofesh, and wine to someone who's bitter of soul, drinking to despair, if you like. But it's much deeper than that. Firstly, of course, it's a celebration of being alive. We've spoken about Kiddush, the idea of using wine in the right context, simcha, celebrations, as opposed to out of context when drunkenness is used in a negative context. But if you consider what follows with Noach, and after he gets drunk and he's unclothed, and what happens with his children, and, you know, we've got to move away from this childish perception that it's just like a, oh, whoops. If you really, really understand, Noach thinks when he comes out of the table, he looks around Sechazal and he sees that the world has been restarted. If the world is restarted, he thinks that perhaps he has gone all the way back to the beginning, and therefore he's at the place that Adam HaRishon, the very first person, was at before the sin, which means unclothed. They didn't need clothes then. There was nothing to hide. There was no need to hide. There was no embarrassment. And then he partakes again of the wine. But it was too early. Again, not quite yet the right context. And that's why things again went wrong. This idea is summed up, I've mentioned many times, in Sephorim, which I guess probably not meant to learn because they're too deep for me. Ochra pago, eating unripe fruit, or unripe figs, but unripe fruit. Other things should have been done first. There was work to do beforehand, as Rashi explains that he should have planted other things before the vine. That shouldn't have been the first thing. That is the out of context idea. That's also, be careful if you're thinking about drinking of Purim. So if we take that a little bit further, we'll understand this is actually Shabbos Shiro this coming week. I don't know if you'll get this before Shabbos. But when they saw the full picture, when they understood, they're singing a song. They're singing a song because you just sing out in happiness, the happiness Simcha expressed through the wine, through the music. But as soon as they express their doubts, again, there's two episodes where they complain about water. The first people who attack the Jewish people after they apparently complain about water on a deeper level, that's a metaphor for Torah, which is connection, unity, together, being connected to Hashem. They're attacked by Amalek. Amalek, who introduced doubt into the world, who say, you don't know how to distinguish. You haven't done Havdalah properly. You don't know what's right. You don't know what's wrong. You don't know what's good. You don't know what's bad. And you need to get back to the source. And when Moshe raises his hands and they look up and they realize we are connected, we're connected. Each grape isolated is worthless. Together, when they are connected in a cluster to the vine, you don't destroy for those reasons of unity. And if you look again and again in this week of Shira, you see this idea of bitter waters becoming sweet. Why sweet? Because they're bitter when you don't understand. When you're suffering pain and you can't understand why you're suffering, it's unpalatable. You can't taste well. It's just no good. As soon as you get the reason for something, as soon as you understand there's a purpose to it, even the pain, yes, no pain, no gain. But once you understand that there's a gain, the pain is palatable and is manageable because you understand what it's about. You put the notes together, and it makes the symphony. The incredible thing about the waters becoming sweet when Hashem shows Moshe the tree, Eitz Chaim in Machazikim Bo, what a non sequitur. Rashi points out that they were given another non sequitur in that pasuk. They were given Por Aduma, Shabbos, and Dinim, which doesn't seem to make sense. We'll discuss another time in greater detail that those three things are specifically three ideas of feeling limited. They've just come away from slavery where they were limited and they're being lumped with more limitations. But once the waters became sweet and everything had rhyme and reason, it was fine. Ta'am means taste. Ta'am means reason. And ta'am means a musical note. Once you have dispelled the doubts, once you've got rid of the maybes and I don't know, you have clarity, you have a symphony, you have sweetness, you have the sweetness of the fruits of Tu B'Shvat. Everything comes together. You have unity, you have cluster, and then you can never be destroyed. Have an amazing Shabbos Shirah.